What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the First Team All Pro Podcast, episode 24. It is September 21st, 2021. I know it's been a while since I put out the last episode, but we are back. We're back in business, putting out these episodes. It is 10:38. It is currently 10:38 a.m. where I'm at. So yeah, I got up a little early to do this, but nonetheless, let's hop right into it. We're going to be talking about a couple different subjects. We'll be talking about the NFL. Specifically, we'll be talking about the standings. We'll talk about the games. We'll talk about some of the games. We're also going to be talking about the MLB. We'll be talking about the wild card race where a lot of these teams stand. And we'll be talking about what these teams need to do to make in into the playoffs or hold a spot to stay in the playoffs. But for now, let's hop right into the NFL. I mean, wild, wild first 2 weeks of football. Wild, wild first 2 weeks of football. I mean, let's get it started with the first game of the season. The Buccaneers beat the Cowboys 31-29. Seahawks beat the Colts 28-16. Texans unloaded on Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars 31-20 or 37-21. Eagles blew out the Falcons 32-6. Chargers beat Washington. Steelers beat Buffalo. San Fran beat Detroit. Cincy beat the Vikings. The Panthers beat the Jets. Cardinals beat the Titans. Chiefs beat the Browns. Dolphins beat the Patriots. Broncos beat the Giants. And the Saints beat the Packers. And that was week one. And I also forgot the Rams beat the Bears and the Raiders beat the Ravens. So that was just the first week. And then week two, we had a lot of different games so far. A lot of interesting games. I mean, week two is already done. But let's have a look at the standings through week two. Let's go through to the NFC East. Washington, Philly, and Dallas are all tied at 1-1. The Giants are 0-2. Not a good start for the Giants. As many of you guys know, I am a New York Giants fan. I'm not having fun right now. I'm kind of, as a lot of New York Giants fans would say, I'm not having fun whatsoever. It's kind of getting ridiculous at this point. Because I'm gonna be honest with you, the Giants, the Jets, or not the Jets, those two games the Giants played against the Washington football team and the Denver Broncos, those were completely winnable games. Completely winnable games, but the offense, and here's another thing, a lot of people would probably pin these losses on Daniel Jones. Not the case, at all. You shouldn't be pinning it on him either, because he had two really good games despite only having one touchdown in both of those games. He threw for over 200 passing yards in both those games, no interceptions. So I don't want to hear the Daniel Jones slander. I mean, not yet anyway, but either way, it's not a good spot for the Giants to be in. I have a feeling the NFC East is still going to be not a not so good division. I mean, anyone who watched football or watched the NFL last season knows how bad of the division the NFC East was. So I feel like that's still going to be a dogfight, but I mean, for the Giants, it's been brutal those first 2 weeks. It's been absolutely brutal. Then we get into the NFC West. We have three different teams tied for first. 49ers, Rams, and Cardinals all 2-0. I mean, and that brings up another thing. The Cardinals absolutely scorched Tennessee in, I believe, week one. Kyler Murray went off. I mean, he absolutely torched the Tennessee Titans. Let's get right into that for a second. It was 38 to 13. Kyler Murray had four touchdowns, one interception, threw for 289 passing yards. I mean, he just went off. DeAndre Hopkins and Christian Kirk each had 2 touchdowns in that game. I mean, and to note, one other thing to note from that game, Chandler Jones had 5 sacks. 5 sacks in week one. I mean, look at think about that. He had 5 sacks in week one. I mean, it was not fun. If you're a Titans fan, it wasn't fun to watch that game. I mean, especially for Ryan Tannehill, got sacked 5 different times by Chandler Jones. Not exactly a fun day. Derrick Henry couldn't really get the couldn't really get going. He had 17 carries for 58 yards. Couldn't really get going. But, you know, yeah. And I believe, I want to say that was week one. Yeah. Yeah, that was week one. So the Titans couldn't really get much going off of that. So the Cardinals, though, starting off the season on a high note. And I think that division is going to be interesting. I think it's definitely going to be a dogfight. We'll see what happens. I mean, the Seahawks were 1-1, but I feel like they can turn that around really quick. So, again, we're going to see what happens. The NFC North, Packers are 1-1, Bears are 1-1. The Vikings and Lions are both 0-2. I feel like that division is going to come down to either Green Bay or Chicago. I think I might have made predictions a while back, but now just currently looking at the standings after the first 2 weeks, I feel like it's going to come down to Green Bay or Chicago. I could be wrong, but we'll see what happens. NFC South, Buccaneers are 2-0. Not really a surprise considering when you see who's behind center, who's the quarterback there. Of course, you know, Tom Brady. He's got weapons all around him. He's got Rob Gronkowski and Antonio Brown, just to name a few. I believe Chris Godwin. Yeah, Chris Godwin as well. I mean, got a couple of different weapons. I mean, so, I mean, the Buccaneers are poised to make another deep run, and I would not be surprised if they did that. And then, of course, the Panthers, they're tied with the Buccaneers. They're 2-0. Looks like Sam Darnold's playing a lot better in Carolina since the last time we saw him, which was in a Jets uniform. The Saints are 1-1, and the Falcons are 0-2. So that's the NFC anyway. And then let's head to the AFC East. Bills are 1-1. Dolphins are 1-1. Pats are 1-1. The Jets are 0-2. Anyone who saw the game, the Jets played the Patriots the other day. Not a good performance by Zach Wilson. He did have 4 touchdowns, but he also had 4 interceptions. But again, he's a rookie. I think you just got to give the rookie quarterbacks time. I'm sure they'll be able to make adjustments. I'm sure they'll be able to make changes and settle in. So at this point, no rush for the rookies. And that doesn't even go towards like Zach Wilson. I mean, this goes for Trevor Lawrence, who had a couple interceptions in his first 2 games. And that reminds me, the Jaguars are 0-2 in their first 2 games. Not a good start. The Colts are also 0-2. Texans are 1-1, and the Titans are 1-1. And this is in the AFC South. And then, of course, the AFC North. Steelers are 1-1. Ravens are 1-1. Everyone's 1-1 in that division. So, of course, the Bengals, who beat Minnesota. I mean, the Steelers lost to the Raiders. The Ravens beat the Chiefs the other day. The Browns are 1-1 as well, and the Bengals are 1-1. And that reminds me, let's go to the AFC West. The Raiders are currently leading the AFC West 2-0. They're tied with the Broncos. I'm going to be honest. I didn't really see this coming whatsoever. But Derek Carr has performed exceptionally well. I mean, look at that first game against Baltimore he had. 34 completions on 56 attempts. He threw for 435 passing yards, two touchdowns, and one interception. Yeah. Now, everyone's going to automatically think, like, oh, he threw an interception. Well, all quarterbacks are going to throw an interception every now and then. You really can't I mean, it's inevitable. But 435 passing yards and two touchdowns. Derek Carr's the real deal. I mean, I don't care what anyone says. I know he's had his fair share of injuries and all that, but when he's healthy, he gets the help that's needed. He can easily be one of the best quarterbacks, or one of the better quarterbacks. I mean, obviously you got Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, and Lamar Jackson and company, along with Josh Allen. But anyway, and then again in week two, a win against the Steelers, he was 28 for 37, 382 yards, two touchdowns, zero interceptions. He almost had back-to-back 400-plus passing yard games. I like to see it. I love to see this, actually. I mean, I want to see if there's anyone I want to see have a career year from, or have a unbelievable season out of, it's Derek Carr. I want to see that happen. I want to see the Raiders make a run for the postseason. I want to see them be that surprise team. I want to see that happen. But yeah. I mean, other than that, I mean, I was going to talk about the Giants. I mean, I might as well talk about the Giants for a little bit before I head off into the wild card standings and talk about baseball for a little bit. I mean, for the Giants, it's just the same thing as usual, starting off 0-2 for like the fourth straight season. It's not fun. It's not fun, especially when you lose a close game to the Washington football team. It wasn't even that it was the Washington football team. It was just how the Giants lost. Anyone who watched the game knows the Giants were up 29-27 with like maybe like 30 seconds left, not even. And Washington missed the field goal. And then, of course, a flag marker was thrown for offsides, I believe it was, or false start. I think it was offsides. And that basically, and they missed the field goal. That's the funny part in all this. Washington initially missed the first field goal attempt, and then that penalty came into play, hurt the Giants, put them even deeper in the field goal position. And they knocked it through with 5 seconds left, and it stung. I'm not gonna lie to you, it stung. Being 5 seconds away from winning and then having victory snatched right from your hands, it stings. It stings. Excuse me, I just had the cough right there. Didn't want to cough into the mic, but yeah. It absolutely stings, and for a lot of Giants fans like myself, we've seen this movie before, starting off the season 0-2. I think we've seen this movie happen way too many times in the last decade. Not even the last decade, the last like 3-4, maybe like 5 seasons, it's been like this. I can't remember the last time the Giants had a winning start to the season through the first 2 weeks. I honestly can't remember. But, and again, the Jets, they're not doing so hot either. They're 0-2 as well. So, but, again, I mean, what are you going to do? Can't really do anything right now, but if you're the Giants, to be honest, I don't normally classify games as must-wins. But they got a big schedule coming up. Let me just say that they got the Falcons. They got the Falcons in week 3, week 4, the Saints, and they play the Cowboys. That's a must win. That's all three of those games are must wins. You lose two of those games, you're in trouble. And then you got the Cowboys, the Rams, the Panthers, and then, and here's the thing, the Giants' schedule does not get easy. It does not get easier. It's probably one of the more difficult schedules, I'd want to say, and a lot of people would probably say otherwise. Fans of other fan bases would probably say otherwise, but after Atlanta and New Orleans, the Giants got the Cowboys, the Rams, the Panthers. Then they have the Chiefs. Yeah, the Chiefs. Then they play the Raiders, who are 2-0. Then they play Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. Then they got the Eagles. Then they got the Dolphins. They got the Chargers. The Cowboys again. The Eagles again. They play Chicago. And then in the last game of the season, they play Washington. So there are a couple winnable games on that schedule. But there are a lot of games that are going to really be tough. Specifically the Rams. The Rams, the Chiefs, the Raiders, Buccaneers, Eagles, and of course the Eagles in Dallas, because those are both divisional games. So, I don't want to classify every game as a must-win, but if you don't beat the Saints, if you don't beat the Falcons and Saints in the next two weeks, the season doesn't really look promising from a Giants fan perspective. You start off 0-4 and the Cowboys, and here's the thing. Here's the thing with this. If the Giants lose the next two games and Dallas and Philly start winning games, Dallas, Philly, and Washington start winning games, it's not looking promising whatsoever. Like, not whatsoever. But either way, I mean, again, what are you going to do? It's only the first 2 weeks of the season, so we'll see what happens. But anyway, let's hop right into the MLB. Baseball season, it's coming to a close. We're coming down to the last 2 weeks of the season, basically. We'll give you an update of the American League wild card, where everyone sits in those two games. Boston currently holds the top wild card spot with 86 wins and 65 losses. Toronto with 84 wins and 66 losses, following a loss to Tampa. That brings up the Yankees. The Yankees needed a big win the other day. They got it. They beat the Rangers 4-3 despite almost blowing the game. But nonetheless, they're now a half game out of that second wild card spot. Oakland is two games back of that wild card spot, the second wild card spot. And Seattle's three games back of that wild card spot. But for the Yankees, and I know I cover every single sport, I cover every single team, or try to at least. The Yankees' schedule, that brings up the next point. The Yankees really need to get it going because they've struggled in the last month. I mean, look, they dropped 2 out of 3 to Cleveland, 2 out of 3 to Baltimore. Let's see, 2 out of 3 to the Mets, and these are just in the last couple series. They got swept by Chicago, dropped 2 out of 3 to Baltimore, dropped 2 out of 3 to the Angels, if I'm not mistaken, and split with the A's. This was all in the last couple of series. These are all must-win. I've said it before. These are all must-win games for the Yankees moving forward. They play it's a three-game set with the Rangers. Three-game set with the Red Sox, and a three-game set with the Blue Jays, and a three-game set with the Rays. All of those are must-win games. Like, those division games, as well as the games against the Rangers, they're all must-win games. You must, if you're the Yankees, you have to win at least. Yeah, as I was saying, sorry, I got distracted a little bit. My dad just walked through the door, so that's why I didn't finish my sentence right there. But the Yankees need to win. Like, they need to win every single series from here on out. Because, again, the Rays are leading the division. The Blue Jays currently hold that second wild card spot. The Red Sox hold the first wild card spot. And that's another thing. Well, and again, I'm a Yankees fan, but if you look at the way the Red Sox have been playing, if you look at the way the Red Sox have been playing in their last series, they've been getting wins when they needed to. They've been getting the wins when they needed to. Like the Orioles, that was a sweep. They swept the Orioles. Something that the Yankees have not done once this season. And I hate to be that guy, but I mean, it's true. Like, I think like I saw some stat, like 30% of the, it was either 30% or some weird percentage of the Baltimore's wins came against the Yankees this season. And then of course the Red Sox took 2 out of 3 from a Mariners team, that was also looking for a wild card spot. So, and what else? The Red Sox also, if I'm not mistaken, I think they didn't split with Tampa. I was wrong on that. That was a 3-game set there. But either way you look at it, the Red Sox have been getting wins when they needed to. I mean, they took, and then of course the series against Cleveland, they took 2 out of 3. The Yankees dropped 2 out of 3 against Cleveland. And not in like close game fashion. They've gotten blown out in the last 2 games against Cleveland. That was not a good series for the Yankees. So they have a lot of things that need to go right. A lot of things need to go right if they're going to make the wild card spot and make the playoffs. And if you're a Yankee fan like myself, you don't make the playoffs, or if you don't, you're going to get fed up. And let's face it, I hate to be the bearer of bad news to my fellow Yankee fans, but the Yankees, they haven't done anything. The Yankees have not made a World Series in over a decade. Things definitely need to change. And again, I don't like trying to make this trying to bring my bias into it because I'm a New York sports fan, but things are going to need to change if the Yankees don't make the playoffs this year, or just barely sneak into the wild card game. I don't know. Either way, things need to change. That was just a rundown of the Yankees' rest of their schedule. Basically, they need to win every single series, whether it's 2 out of 3 or not. But at this point, you really can't even win 2 out of 3. You have to literally sweep the Rangers. You have to sweep the Texas Rangers. You'd probably have to sweep the Red Sox, and then you'd probably have to sweep the Blue Jays, or at least take 2 out of 3 from them, and at least take 2 out of 3 from Tampa. But either way, and if you look at Toronto's schedule, let's get right into it. Toronto plays the Rays, they play the Twins, and they play of course, the Yankees, and then they play the Orioles one time. So the Yankees, basically, the Yankees have to win now because the Blue Jays are playing the Rays. And if the Yankees beat the Rangers the next 2 times and the Blue Jays lose to the Rays in the next 2 matchups, the Yankees are in for a wild card spot. So a lot of things need to happen. But if you can't put up a decent amount of runs on the Rangers, and let's face it, that game almost gave me a heart attack last night. But if you can't do that, you're in trouble. Anyway, those are just the American League wildcard standings. Let's just look at the division leaders in the American League. Of course, Tampa, 93 wins, 58 losses, leading the American League East. Houston's leading the American League West Division, 89 wins, 61 losses. The White Sox, 85 wins and 65 losses in the AL Central. And now let's get to the NL wildcard game. Basically, Dodgers have the first wildcard game on lock. The Cardinals are in there out of nowhere. The Cardinals have won like 8 or 9 in a row, I believe. They're 9-1 in their last 10 games. And again, I'm looking at the standings, the wild card standings on MLB.com. So, yeah. But either way, yeah. And then, of course, the Reds are 3 games back of that second wild card spot. The Padres are 4 games back of that second wild card spot. And Philly's 4.5 games back. But either way, it's looking pretty interesting. The Cardinals got hot at the right time. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Anyway, before I end up concluding this episode, Salvador Perez, let's keep it on the baseball topic for a second. I want to talk about a couple highlights from the other day. Salvador Perez hit his 46th home run of the season. I think he's the only catcher with like 40-plus home runs this season. So congratulations to him. That's number 46 on the season. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, he's tied for the league lead. I think he's tied with, I think it's Vlad Jr. and Shohei Ohtani. I could be wrong. Yeah, I saw a stat. Oh, yeah. I saw it. Talking Baseball by John Boy Media. They posted it. It's on Twitter. I highly recommend go listening to their podcast, and I highly recommend go following them on like Twitter and Instagram, because they know their stuff. Like, they know all their baseball stuff. So, but yeah. So this was the tweet: Salvi, Vladdy, and Shohei lead MLB with 46. 46 and 45 home runs apiece. Their previous career highs were 27, 15, and 22. Think about that. They went from, in the span of, I don't know, probably a year or two, maybe 2 years, they went from 27, 15, hitting their career highs of 27 home runs, 15 home runs, and 22 to 40 bombs. 40 plus home runs. That's wild. I mean, that's just unbelievable. That's just wild to just think about that for a second. But what else? Let's talk about one other game. Let's see. Let's talk about the Reds for a second. I want to talk about the... Oh, wait a minute. Also, 200 career wins for John Lester. You got that accomplishment the other day. Congratulations to John Lester. Marcus Semien hit his 41st home run of the season the other day against Tampa Bay. Who else? Joey Votto hit 2 home runs the other day against Pittsburgh. And as we know, if you haven't been following along with Joey Votto, he's just been having an unbelievable season, just trying to will the Reds into the playoffs, along with guys like Jonathan India and company, and of course Nick Castellanos. Anyway, yeah, so the Reds are looking to keep pushing forward, looking to get into that wild card spot. And if they do end up getting into that wild card spot, they'd have a date with the Dodgers, which obviously the defending world champs, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy for any team, but it'll be interesting for sure. And with that being said, that's basically it for me, ladies and gents. I have to go. I figured I'd get this early episode out of the way. I don't normally do early episodes like this. It's 11:10. I'm usually still asleep at 11:10 in the morning. Yeah. So with that being said, episode 24 is concluded. Should be out within the next like hour, half hour, who knows. But I'll also be trying to keep
keep the podcast coming, as the episodes coming as much as possible. I know I've been slacking a little bit. There's only been 23 episodes, but again, anyway, I'll see you in the next episode. Who knows? I might make another episode in the near future. Again, with hockey season coming around the corner, I might make a hockey episode. Who knows? You might see another ranting episode about the Yankees. I know a lot of people probably wouldn't want to listen to that, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. Anyway, it's been your host, LT Nasty. I'll catch you guys in episode 25. Peace.